All right. Well, Derek, thank you. We appreciate you and the work that you and Gideon's are doing, as you said, here and all over the world. And so, as John has already mentioned, this morning we're going to be kicking back into our series on the Protestant Reformation. And last week we got some history, and we looked at where we're headed. We looked at the five solas of the Reformation, these five statements, and they all use the word sola, meaning only or alone. Well, today where we're going to be headed is we're going to be looking at sola scriptura. And Derek mentioned sola scriptura. By the way, I mentioned this in first hour. When I was in college as a baby believer, I got saved in college, and I was walking from where I lived on campus. I was walking up to the main part of campus one day, and there was this older gentleman standing right there on we crossed this street, and there he was, and he put something in my hand. I had no idea what he was doing. It was a little green New Testament. He was a Gideon. And I used that Gideon Bible, I used that Gideon New Testament, I wore it out. I used it until it literally was falling apart. And so I got to tell you, the Gideons are doing good ministry. They love the Word, and they see, because they see the Word of God changes lives. God changes lives through His Word. So that's why we are coupled up, we are partnered up with the Gideons. Let me introduce to you a friend. This is a friend that my family and I made up at the mall the other day. You can see right behind us, that's Auntie Annie's Pretzels. Right there. So when we had all just eaten, we were all very fat and happy. But my son and I, actually Robert, before I did, met this fellow. His name is Daryl Duffy. I told him, I said, I'm going to make you famous at Faith Community Church tomorrow, Daryl. But the reason that I got Daryl's picture up here, and I asked Robert, my son, to take that picture of us, the reason is because as he and I got to talking, it turns out he's a follower of Jesus. He lives down in Lewis, and he and his wife had come up for a day of shopping there at the mall. But he's not just a follower of Jesus. He really loves the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the more we talked, seemed like about every other thing come out of his mouth was Scripture. It was a great encouragement to me. But the reason that I got this picture of Daryl Duffy up there is because he said something, and I'm going to quote him the best I can here. He said, "Whatever you fill your life with, that's what comes out of your life. Whatever you fill your life with, that's what's going to come out of your life." You know, it sounds a lot like what Jesus said. The mouth speaks. Hey, Quinn. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Well, you know what my new friend and brother in Christ, Daryl, said? What he said is, whatever you fill your life with, that's what's going to come out of your life. And it may sound odd, but that's actually along the lines of what we're going to be talking about today with respect to the Scriptures, with respect to this idea of only by the Word of God, according to the Word of God alone. But we're going to press on even deeper than that. It's not just the Word of God that we want to get in us. There's something more that we want to see happen, that God wants to see happen. We're going to see it in the Scriptures. Let's pray. Let's pray that the Lord will help us to be careful. What are we filling our life with? And what's coming out? Let's pray. Lord, we look to You. Lord, we look to You. Because You are God, because we need You, because You're the one, as we've already sung, and as we're going to see in the Scriptures in a minute, God, You are the one that we need to soften up the hard places in our hearts. Lord, whether we know You, whether we're followers of Jesus, Lord, there's times when we struggle with those hard places. Lord, if there's people here that don't know You yet, that have not entrusted themselves to Jesus alone, Lord, we welcome You to come in now. Lord, would You soften our hearts? Lord, we want to receive Your Word, but we want to respond rightly. So, Lord, help us to look to You. Help us to trust You. Lord, when there's fearful things that want to hold us back, Lord, when we fear what we might lose if we follow You closely, Lord, free us from those lies. Let us see what we have to gain by following You, as You've revealed Yourself in Your Word. Lord, help us. Move in us. Change us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, sola scriptura, according to the Scriptures alone. We talked a little bit about this last week, what the Reformers saw 500 years ago. What these men and women saw was that there were church councils and church leaders and preachers and all kinds of folks. And what they would do is they would take their own thoughts, their own ideas, their own rules or the ways they thought things should be, and they would hold those things up above the Word of God. The reformers said, no, we're going to reject church councils. We're going to reject anybody other than God himself. We're going to uphold the word of God. We're going to seek God through his word. We're going to follow him as he's declared in his word. He's revealed himself. He's revealed how to know him. He's revealed who we are and how we're stuck in sin. He's revealed how sin works and how righteousness can be ours through Jesus. All that comes through his word, through what God has revealed of himself. The reformers, 500 years ago, they began to grab a hold of this idea and they began to reject the idea that there was authority for how to live, how to know God, and anything else than the word of God itself. As I was thinking and praying about this message this morning, through this past week, I was praying, and there are all kinds of things. There's all kinds of things that I did research. I got this big chart that shows all these ancient documents and how much evidence there is, existing manuscript evidence. I thought of all the different ways that we could talk about the imperative of why is the Bible important. We're not going to talk about those things, though. You know, we could talk about the mountain of manuscript evidence for the trustworthiness of the Bible, but that's not where we're going today. We could talk about this, so I'm going to talk about it now, but we're not going there. I'm not trying to be funny. We're not going to do that. We could talk about 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable. We're not going to talk about that. We could. We're not going to talk about 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, which says, but know this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. We're not going to talk about those things today. As I prayed, as I sought the Lord, as I worked the scriptures myself, as I sought him and said, Jesus, you guide me, not just to guide us. Lord, what do you have for me here? You know, the heartbeat behind sola scriptura is that the authority of God is in his word, that the Bible is authoritative, that the Bible stands above church councils and popes and preachers and pastors, me included. That's the heartbeat of sola scriptura, that the word of God alone has authority because it's God's revelation of himself and us and righteousness. The heartbeat behind this presses us back to one point, and this is where we're going today, that we are to be doers of the word. There's lots of things we can do with the Bible, and we should do all of these things. We should read the Bible. We should read it. You know, I love how Yusuf, how he said, I want to feed on this word. Amen. That's what you and I should do every day. We should make the Bible, we should get a steady diet of the word of God in us. But if it stops there, if we just read it and take it in and it stops there, then we failed. You know, there's these two different terms. You've probably heard of one. You may not have heard of the other one. It's a little less common. There's this one word, orthodoxy. Orthodoxy. Orthodoxy means right thinking. Orthodoxy means I've aligned my thinking or the way I believe with what's true in God's word. That's orthodoxy. All right? So I have right thinking, right teaching, okay, right doctrine. But then there's this other idea, and it's called orthopraxy. Now, we don't use that word too much, but you know what it means? It means right living. It means right doing. If we stop here, if we have right doctrine, if we read the Bible, if we meditate on the Bible, if we hide it in our hearts, we can do all those things. But until it gets to the place where the Bible is how we're living, until we let it actually, see, authority comes down to what do I do? Not just what do I believe, but what do I do with it? That's where authority really kicks into gear. If I read the Bible but don't do it, I'm not really giving God authority in my life, right? That's what we're talking about. We're going to see that in the scriptures here today. So this precise point that ultimately authority comes down to doing what God's word says. In other words, obeying him according to his word. We'll look at a few scriptures today. We're going to fly through this today. First of all, James 1. This is going to kind of set the stage for us. In James 1, verses 22, 21 through 25, we're not going to look at each of these. But James, the half-brother of Jesus, he says this. He says, in humility, receive the word implanted, So right off the bat, we see humility. Remember what humility means. Humility is when I choose to make myself lower. Well, the idea means I'm exalting something else. So here James calls followers of Jesus to get low to exalt the word of God. He says, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Now, verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Do you know that word's in your Bible, delude? A lot of other versions translate that same word as deceive. What that word that's translated delude here means, it means to be thinking about something and then to come to the wrong conclusion. It means to miscalculate. So you can see already, if I read the word, if I say, oh, I believe that, I align my thinking, my doctrinal thinking with that, but if that doesn't create the fruit of right living, the Bible says I'm deluding myself. I'm deceiving myself. In other words, I'm thinking about this thing, but it's not coming to the right place. It's not ending up at the right place. And that's what James is saying to us. He says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. And then he goes down to, we're going to bump down to verse 25. He says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it. And that's key, to look and abide. He says, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So first question for you today, brothers and sisters, do you want to be blessed in what you do? I'll tell you, I'm not ashamed. I want God to bless me. I ask God, God, bless me. I don't have what I need. You are who I need, and you have what I need. Lord, help me. Lord, if you don't bless me, Lord, I'm not going to be blessed. I can't bless me. I need you to do it. And right here, he tells us how this works. He says, if you want to be blessed, he says, don't just hear the word. Do it. We've got to obey the word for God to bless us through this process. He says, if we abide by it, if we're effectual doers, then we'll be blessed. So that kind of sets the stage for us. Let's look at something that we should obey in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Now, you may remember the church at Corinth had lots of problems. Open sin. I mean, there's lots of stuff going on in that church. But this is what he says. He says, for I delivered to you. So Paul says, Paul, delivered to you, these Corinthian believers who lived in this town called Corinth. He says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. What he's saying is, folks, I didn't make this up. This isn't from me. He says, this is from God. And now let's see what he says. He says, what I received. Well, what did you receive, Paul? He says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. There's our phrase, according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures, Christ died for sin, and we could say for sinners, according to the Scriptures. And goes on, verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. So my next question for you, this Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus who died bodily, we're going to take the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes, and we're going to remember Christ's death on the cross. And it was a horrible death. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died not for his sin. It says that he was tempted in every way, like as are we, and yet without sin. He died for me. He died for you. So here's my question. Are you trusting in Jesus alone? Are you trusting in Jesus alone? Not just to kind of get you out of, you know, fire and into heaven, right? Are you trusting in Jesus alone in this moment? Are you looking to Jesus in the things that are coming against you, trying to rack you with fear or false guilt or shame? The Bible says there's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. And it's not about what you can do, but what he's already done. Have you received, have you welcomed this Jesus of the Bible? That's the first and most important obedience you could ever give to the Word of God. Until and unless you receive Jesus Christ and let him be your Savior, Your life here will not be blessed like it could be, and you will not have eternal life. You'll be separate from God for eternity in hell. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make this up. That's what the Bible says. So there's a place for us to obey. The most important place for us to obey, for us to be doers of the word, is to welcome Jesus Christ as sin bearer. Psalm 111:10. I love this verse. The Lord used this verse in my life powerfully many, many years ago, and it stuck with me all these years. Psalm 111:10. First, it starts out this way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, that verse is in the Bible a few different times, a few different ways. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But then he goes on and he says this, and we tend to want to flip this. He says, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. What I tend to struggle with is I say, you know, God, if you'll help me to understand it all, well, then I'll follow you by faith. In other words, what I'm saying is I don't really want to exercise faith. If you'll show me what's around the corner, then I'll be happy to walk around the corner where you're calling me. And Jesus says it just the opposite. He says, what I want you to do is to obey my commands by faith. Obey me, and he says, if you obey me, you'll get a good understanding. What does he mean? Good understanding how? A good understanding of life. A better understanding of who God is. A better understanding of who he's made me to be. A good understanding of how to love a wife or a husband or kids, or how to be a good worker at work with integrity. Do you want good understanding? If you want good understanding, God says, obey my commands. Obey my commands, and I'll give you a good understanding. Moving along, John 14:15. Just a few verses after John 14:6 that we already heard quoted earlier. Jesus says this, and it's so simple. But in the simplicity is also the hard part. He says, if you love me, obey my commands. You see what he does there? The beauty of this is that it's so simple. He says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. But that's also the hard part of this. It's so simple. There's no place to hide, is there? Jesus, I love you, but I'm not going to obey you. He says, if you love me, obey me. Let that beauty sink in. So my question here would be, and this is the scripture's question really to you and me. This is Jesus to you and me. Do we love him? Then let's obey him. Then let's let his word not just give us right thinking, right doctrine. If we love him, then let's do what he calls us to do. Now, in ending, I want to tell you, as I was praying about this, as the Lord led me in this direction, in towards this doer heart, in other words, you know, to think, if we're really going to say the Bible has authority, then after everything else, it's got to eventuate in how I live my life. If the Bible does not affect how I live my life, then in reality, I may have right doctrine, but I don't have right practice. In other words, I'm not a doer. Lord, make us doers. As I thought about this and prayed about this, I said, Lord, so what commands, what calls do you want to say to your body? What commands and calls do you have for us? We could go, there's so many lists of commands, of ways that we could obey the Lord that we could look at. We're going to look at one short verse. Just one short verse. It's Micah 6:8. You may be familiar with Micah 6:8. It's a great verse. And we're going to unpack it just really quickly here. Micah 6:8 says this. He's told you, O man, what is good. You know, when he says he has told you, that means this is his word. This is what to live by. He says, he's told you, O man, what is good. And then he asks a question. And he says, and what does the Lord require of you? He lists out three things. But to do justice, to love mercy or kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So let's look at those three really quickly, and then I'm going to take the Lord's Supper. So what I want you to do is, as we talk about these three commands here, I want you to be thinking about, as you bring your heart, and Peter, when he comes up in just a minute, he's going to just remind us that we're to take our hearts before the Lord. As we take the Lord's Supper, as we remember Christ's death, he invites us to bring our life and line out our life before him and say, Jesus, I trust you. I'm entrusting myself to your finished work on that cross. Is there any area of my life, Lord, that you want to break into that I'm holding back from you? Are there any hard places in the soil of my life? Jesus, come on in. So here are these three things, these three commands. But to do justice, and we got to be careful here, to do, there's that word again, to do justice. This doesn't mean to give the other guy what he deserves. Because oftentimes you think, well, I'm all about justice. You should get what you deserve. Okay, well, that's justice. Be careful. None of us wants justice, do we? Brothers and sisters, I do not want justice for me. I need mercy. If God were to give me justice, I'd already be dead, and I'd be in hell. No, when he says, but to do justice, he means to do what you owe to that other person. He means to do what is yours to do, to be quick and sure, to do what's right for you to do. Then he goes on and he says, but to love kindness, or another version says mercy. And again, he's not saying to love receiving mercy. That's easy. Who doesn't want to receive mercy and kindness? You know, put me in, coach. I want mercy and kindness. But that's not what he's talking about. When he says love, mercy, and kindness, he means to love the giving. To love giving mercy and kindness. You know what? How could I be a better husband than if I gave my wife mercy and kindness every day? If I made that the single watchword of my life, how could I do better than that? To live out the grace of Jesus that I've received from him, to give it freely to you, how could I do better? That's what he means when he says to love mercy and kindness. And then finally, it's interesting. You know, we started in James 1:21, and he says, with humility receive the word implanted. And look where we just ended up here in Micah 6:8. Walk humbly with your God. It reminds me of John the Baptizer, you know, one of my favorite guys, JTB Stud, I call him, John the Baptizer. He's a great guy. Remember his prayer. He said, he needs to increase. He needs to be getting bigger in my life. And I need to be getting lesser. You know what that's called? Humility. Letting God win. Letting God win in my life. That's where we're headed. So, brothers, why don't you come forward? Peter, will you come up? We're going to take the Lord's Supper now.
As we prepare ourselves of taking communion, let us focus on our relationship with the Lord. We do this out of obedience. This is not a ritual. It's one of the ordinances that God gives us in his scripture. And he has a personal relationship with each and every one of us. Well, we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior. So he knows right where you are in your life, whatever your challenges are, whatever the current storms might be. And he's demonstrated his love on cross Calvary. So let us prepare our hearts as we receive these elements and focus on what is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. What does he have in store for you? What are you pleading out to him for?